Thank you. Let's be seated. God bless you. Some years ago, there's this old prophet. He's gone to be with the Lord now. But some of you possibly have heard of him, Prophet Obadari of the CAC. He mentored me briefly before he died. Well, he's a miracle man. He called me and said he wanted to know where I was and what I was doing. I told him. He said I should leave whatever I was doing and join him in a crusade in Maryland. I told him I didn't have money to travel. He said I shouldn't worry that they will bring money from Akure. And they did. So I flew into New York, and his son-in-law picked me from New York and drove me to meet him in Baltimore. We had a crusade in Johns Hopkins University for 4 days. He preached 2 days. I preached 2 days. He sat down, I preached. Then he said he was going to Canada, that I should go to a suburb of Maryland and preach a 1 week crusade in a neighborhood called Lanham. So I got to Lanham, and lo and behold, it was a one-man crusade. Only one person attended. And for all my years and itinerary, Lanham is the only place I've done a one-man crusade. But the pastor, the host pastor, was so embarrassed that the members didn't come and apologized to me. Oh, I told him that I'm a sent man, that I don't have problem with that. So he asked me, how are we going to do? I said, how do we do? Let this one person sit down, let the service start. The lady is called Josephine from Cameroon. So she sat down and I started preaching. I preach as if we were many. When I'm preaching, I don't see you. Do you understand? I don't know how many are there, and I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm on errand, so I have to do my job. If when I come, they are not there, that's not my fault. So I finished preaching, and we prayed. And my pastor said, that this service, that is very sorry that is poorly attended, that what... How do we do tomorrow? Are we going to continue in view of the situation? It's a big church with one person. So I said, if this sister come tomorrow, the revival will continue. But if I arrive here tomorrow and it is only you and me, that's the end. Because if I give utter call, is it you that will come forward? So he said it's all right. That he will ask the sister in my presence, Josephine, would you come tomorrow? Because we want to know what to do. Josephine said that she cannot tell. Then I said to even me, I cannot tell what is going to happen here tomorrow. On that note, we ended the service. I arrived there the next day. Lo and behold, it was again only Josephine. And one other pastor that is a friend to my host, whose church was not far away, and he greeted me when he came and apologized to me and told me that he heard that we are having a failed service here, and that he had come to sympathize with his friend. So That way we were four. But that man, I wish he didn't come because he looked so sad. If I say praise the Lord, he will not answer. If I pray, he will not say amen. He just sat down in the chair like that, swollen. So, say, well, this one is a negative factor to this revival. But he had already told me when he came that he came to sympathize with us. And he looked it. So, I started preaching again. And when I finished preaching, my pastor stood up and said, God is great, that this message is wonderful. Then Josephine also stood up and said, yes, that the Holy Spirit is moving. I said, moving where? I need to know. We're only four. In fact, can I say four? Three plus one man. So Josephine took microphone and said, the fact was that she had immigration problem. She had been arrested and prosecuted, and that day was judgment day. And it was for this she came for revival last night to ask for mercy, that she knew she was not going to win the case. She had no paper. And that judgment that day will mean Yaounde, next flight. So I then said, what happened when you got to court this morning? He said, contrary to practice, the judge was going to read the judgment. It was judgment day. But the judge said, Josephine, do you still have anything to say? It's not done. But that's what happened the day you get mercy. Amen. All the rules will be set aside. Amen. Because whatever she had to say, she had said. The cases had been closed. The immigration lawyers have argued their case. Her own lawyer said whatever could be said. But the judge said, do you still have something to say? Oh. Then I asked her, what did you say? He said, what I said was that, my Lord, I'm guilty, but have mercy on me. Then the immigration lawyer stood up and said, America, this is not a country of mercy, it's a country of law. If you want to stay in America, you need papers, not mercy. The judge said, could you please sit down? You don't teach me my job. Josephine, what do you say? He said, I'm guilty, but have mercy on me. I don't have paper. If I have, I would have brought it in the course of this trial. I don't have, but have mercy on me. She said the whole courtroom was overtaken by a different atmosphere. The normal procedures could not be followed. And the judge now looked at Josephine's lawyer and began to ask, this woman doesn't have paper. What are you doing as a lawyer? Have you checked section so-so-so and so? Could you look at section so-so-so and so and see what may be done? The judge started teaching Josephine's lawyer the loopholes. Because it's an immigration judge. The loopholes that are in the constitution in her kind of case, and told the lawyer what to do. And said, even though today is judgment day, that judgment is postponed. That whenever he is ready to hear this case, he will let the different parties know that the case is adjourned long time to allow Josephine's lawyer to go and check on those sections and those areas to help Josephine get paper. Josephine said that was how she was able to come to church that day. She said it was because of this case. When they asked her yesterday, will you come tomorrow, that she said she cannot tell because she didn't know the direction of the judgment. There is a passage in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, only anun shogo lori idajo, that is mercy glorieth over judgment. Mercy did not let them read judgment. Prophet Obadiah called me from Canada and said he heard that the meeting was poorly attended. I said, day one it was. By day two, we even had somebody that added and joined us. He said, keep quiet. That there is another gathering in Philadelphia. The house is full to the door where he's supposed to be preaching, but he's not done yet in Canada. That I should leave Lanham and go to Philadelphia on Wednesday. That night, Tuesday night, phone calls were getting all over Maryland, Baltimore area. If you don't have paper, come, oh, you get mercy. That there is one man from Nigeria. Is even if you don't have paper, just come, you get mercy. By Wednesday, the whole place was full and I was gone to Philadelphia. You know, my understanding of my visit to Lanham, God sent me there for one person. Yes. That's the reason I was there. As I'm here, I don't know who I came for. But I know that somebody will be blessed. Somebody will get a miracle. I'm telling you, a place I went in this same America, traveling 7,000 kilometers, and only one person was there. How can that be? It's because God brought me to that person to solve that person's problem. That's the way I see it. By Wednesday, I had left Lanham. By Wednesday, I would have left here on my way to Minnesota. But I believe that somebody in this church will have his story changed. Whereas we are talking about developing a next level mentality, as a matter of fact, when I am living on Wednesday, it will no longer be an issue of mentality. Many of you would have, in fact and indeed, moved to the next level. Lord Almighty, we thank you for this revival. In special meetings, you do special things. In normal meetings, you do normal things. If there was no Shiloh, Hannah would have been barren forever. Lord, I pray that in this special meeting, you will do special works. And there are those who need special visitation. There are those who need special touch. There are those who need mercy. There are those who need favor. There are those who the law is no longer working for them. And what they need is mercy. There are those medical science is no longer working for them. What they need is mercy. There are those who science, computers, and all of our knowledge and wisdom can no longer handle their case. What they need is mercy. There are those that there are no drugs that can even deal with their situation. What they need is mercy. I pray in the name of Jesus that mercy will flow like a river. And people will dive into this river of mercy and begin to fetch to their capacity. And their vessels will be overflowing because of your mercies. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I started speaking to you in the morning about rebranding. Do you still remember? How many of you were here in the morning? God will rebrand your life. God will repackage your life. God will represent your life. Where you seem to have been rejected, where you seem to have been subjected, where you've gone under, God will repackage and represent you. Perhaps you have left the rack. God is going to place you back for everybody to see. Say a louder amen.
Amen.
God is the one who gives brand. And from the beginning, you will notice, when God created Adam and Eve, that was a brand. Angels were there, animals were there, trees were there, plants were there, fish in the rivers and in the sea, birds in the air. But man was a brand. God went and called Abraham and said, come out. I'll bless you. He said, in blessing, I'll bless you. And gave him promises. That was a brand. When you are so different from others in certain ways, you've become a brand. But the devil's objective is to debrand you. That's what he did when he entered into the Garden of Eden, to debrand them. And then push them out. The children of Israel, God told Israel, he said, you are not the most populous people in this world. You are not the best of men. He said, but the Lord your God loves you and has chosen you to be the best among all nations. That's a brand. But you know what the devil did? The devil debranded them when these people that were loved of God became a slave in another country. The attack on God's brand is to debrand it and make it useless, worthless. Subject it to humiliation and embarrassment. And there are many who, when they have been debranded, that's their end. They can't find their way back. They can't trace their way up. You know how many people died in Egypt that never knew anything called Promised Land? There were those who, after they've been debranded, they are decimated. They are not able to package. They lose their features and picture. You no longer even identify them. You know what happened in the Valley of Dry Bones? These were human beings reduced to bones. We don't know who they were, but when the Bible says at the end that they stood up a great army, we now try to understand through backward integration that it's likely these were soldiers. They went to war. They were ambushed and tried, and they were killed. They were given mass burial. The fact that we saw them standing up together, a great army, how did they stand? The forward movement of God's promise and covenant over them was such that the bones were first of all sorted out and reassembled. But that's God moving in the life of a man. But bones. God is moving, but bones. Yes, if as you are going out now, you see a skeleton, won't you run? And yet God is moving. A lot of work are in process. And you must know in your mind that even though we are not there yet, but we are on the way.
Amen.
You must know that it's only a question of time. If your God does not abandon you, you will get there.
Amen.
Raise your hand and say, I will get there. The prophet prophesied and flesh covered them. Flesh covered them to give them their size. He prophesied skin covered them to give them complexion. It's the skin that let us know whether they were fair or they were dark. God put breath in them and they stood up. When they stood up, they were rebranded. They will now know their name. We now know this is Brother John. This is James. That's Matthew. But we couldn't identify them in their bones. God will rebrand you. Yeah. And the original picture, the original covenant, the original purpose, you are not as ordinary as you look. There is the man inside you. There is the man in the bone. This bone is not a bone, it's a man. Somebody used to own these bones. They were debranded to become bone. And God rebranded them, they stood up like an army. God will put you back on your feet. Amen. Believe God. The children of Israel became slaves in Egypt. Hey! And it's kind of nemesis that seemed to be following Joseph that brought trouble on his generation. You remember that Joseph interpreted dream in the prison? You remember that? And told the chief butler, he said, in 3 days, God is going to show you mercy and Pharaoh will forgive you and return you to your office. And told the man, he said, please, when you get there, do what? Remember me. And the Bible says, the man forgot Joseph. That's not normal. If these things stop there, like you Americans who call it one-off, then we'll leave it there. But what happened when the Bible now came to say later that another king ruled in Egypt that did not remember Joseph? So it seemed like forgetting him has become a nemesis. And there are those who hang it on their neck, as it were, that no matter what you do, they will not remember. God will rebrand you.
Amen.
How the whole generation of people that were called the people of God became slaves in Egypt. The process of their migration was clear. You know, in the days of Abraham, there was famine in the land, but there was food in Egypt, the food bait. In the days of Isaac, there was famine in the land, but there was food in Egypt. In the days of Jacob, there was famine in the land, and there was food in Egypt. It is to entice these people out of the promised land into bondage. It didn't work in the first generation, Abraham. It didn't work in the second generation, Isaac, because God actually told Isaac, say, stay in the land. And that's how the Bible now says that Isaac sowed in the land. Stay in the land. Sow in the land. Do you know in this Kansas City you can make what you make in Washington, D.C.?
Amen.
The God of DC is here. Whatever anybody has made anywhere, you can make it here. I can tell you from my experience. I live in Ilorin. I've spent all my life there. Most of the people we started together, they left the place. And I was left there like a cursed man. There is no place we meet today and I feel ashamed. Because God has done for me in Ilorin what he has done for others in Lagos. From Ilorin, I've traversed the world. From Ilorin, God has given me all the currencies they spend elsewhere. In this place, God will bless you. In this land, God will bless you. In this place, God will give you your own name. Stay in the land. You will reap 100-fold. You will reap 1,000-fold. Say amen 3 times. Yes. Oh, yes. Jacob left for Egypt with 70 people. It's not normal. If they told you your son got lost and they found him somewhere, do you pack the whole family to go and meet him there? I think what you should do is to tell him to do what? Now, our guy carried the whole family to go and meet a child that was lost. If your child is missing, say God forbid. And they found him around post office. Where is post office? In Kazakhstan. In a roundabout in the post office. And they came and told you at home that this boy you have been looking for, they found him in a roundabout in post office. Do you now call the mother and the other siblings? I'm going to make tent in around the post office. If they say Joseph was missing and they found him in Egypt, and you do not forget the promise on this land where you are sleeping with your head on a stone, and God said, this land where you are sleeping, I will give the land to you. Now, you pack the whole house and travel to go and meet the boy that is lost. And then stay there till food became slavery. It was a bait that lasted over 3 generations. The devil is a long-term planner. And those of you who are children of God must be spiritually sensitive enough to identify baits. How can God put you in a promised land and there is famine there? That famine is fake. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
That famine is what? It's fake. The meaning of Bethlehem is the house of bread. That's the meaning of Bethlehem. Now the Bible says there was no food in Bethlehem. And Elimelech, Chilion, and the brother, and Naomi migrated from the house of bread to Moab. There they died, remaining Naomi only. And Naomi suspected that if she too tarried too long there, she also will be dead, and decided to return home. And the Bible says they got home back in Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. It was in that same place Boaz was, and was a rich man and a relation. In that same place, in that same Bethlehem, Boaz was an employer of labor. Meanwhile, you went to Moab to die there. And the reason you went to Moab is abundant here with a relation. That was debranding this family. But Naomi was spiritually sensitive enough to know when to take a move, go back. And arriving at the beginning of barley harvest is so instructive to note when they came, when they arrived. They arrived at the beginning of barley harvest to completely reverse the reason for their migration. Number two, when Naomi saw the trend that was going on there, of course, she said that when she came to Bethlehem and people ran to meet her and say, hey, Naomi, he said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. He said, because I left here full and I'm returning empty. That's not true. That's not true. The God of her next level, after she was debranded, was also there walking. The God of her rebranding, after she was debranded, was there moving. And while she was going back, Ruth said, entreat me not to go back from following you. For where you go, I'll go. Where you live, I will live.